News Radio WJPF. My friend, Superintendent from Gorville, Steve Webb's in the studio. First off, Steve, it's good to see you again, buddy.
Great to see you too, Tom. Thanks for having me.
The minute I read this weather forecast, I wanted to ask you about the school's power bill.
That's a sore topic.
I bet it is. Are you in the co-op? Are you in on Ameren?
We're on Ameren.
You know, then I can see that to be a sore topic as it is with many, but maybe a topic for another day.
Another day.
Back to school. You know, and somebody's going, oh, you're going to talk about school shootings. It's not what we've got planned for today. There are a lot of, I was talking to a superintendent the other day and said, students, you know, and teachers have a different relationship. Teachers are responsible for so much more than they once were.
Well, I think schools are responsible for so much more because they just continually have to think about the social well-being of children, and everything going on outside of school obviously impacts those children inside of our schools.
You know, and I think one of the items, the prevalence and the nature of bullying is one of the items. Can I read you a letter? And I'm going to have to take excerpts out from a parent who reached out to me and said, we just enrolled my two youngest daughters into name of Christian school inserted here, okay? Because of the craziness and what they're required to teach at public school. Just this last year, my eight-year-old, got a note from a kid in her class, something to the effect of, you're going to suck this, and right, we're going to end that part of the note there. You know, and the parents saying, what is going on? My kids are getting notes like this at school, and were punched in the head. He says, that's it. We're leaving schools. But bullying 101 here, Steve.
Yeah, no, bullying has always been a problem and will always be a problem. There will always be some sort of bullying. You can't eradicate it completely. But what you can do is just not accept it as part of life. This parent is doing what they can to protect their children, and that is action, and that's what we all need to be thinking about. Kids are getting bullied 24/7. You and I got to leave the bully at the school when we were growing up. We didn't have technology that allowed them to gain access to us all night long. These kids are getting it all night long. We have to be fully aware of the apps that they've got on their phones and the ways they're communicating and who they're communicating with.
All right. One of the items that I want to ask you about, Steve, is the ability to go, I didn't write that. I didn't send anything like it. There are a number of messaging services that facilitate this kind of behavior where you can make this kind of overt, over-the-top message to a classmate, and then you're left with no proof that it was done.
You know, Yik Yak was one of the worst cyberbullying apps ever.
Is it out there,
Yik Yak? It is finally gone. They're trying to bring it back because just as soon as we get rid of one, 100 more will pop up. And so one of the worst ones in the last 5 years was called YOLO. It was part of a Snapchat add-in. And Snapchat is extremely popular across the world. Finally, there was a lawsuit brought against YOLO because a young man committed suicide based on cyberbullying using that because they're all anonymous. They're allowing kids or adults, potentially criminal adults, pedophiles, to be able to gain access to these kids anonymously. And now, just as soon as we get rid of YOLO, brand new this year in the top five of downloaded apps, it's called, not going to lie, NGL.
NGL.
And it's an Instagram add-in. Another extremely popular app across the world. Just as soon as we get rid of one, we get another one. That's why it's so important to be aware of what's out there and be aware of what's on your child's phone.
I was going to ask you about this. Can you go in and search your kid's phone and find these things by searching? And then say, look, you're not supposed to. I mean, is there a list somewhere you can get? So,
well, absolutely. You can get all kinds of lists by just Googling each one of those apps that are on your phone. I'm not going to say your child's phone because your child probably doesn't have that phone in their name. That's your phone, parents. You can go into that phone anytime you want because it's your property.
All right. So when it comes to software, when you said suicide, I couldn't help but think about a recent story where I read where a young boy over a matter of hours was sextorted online. From the first contact, he gave them all of his money. That set him off. Now they wanted more. He took his own life. And that was all done. And that what made me think of that was you used the word anonymity, right? It was saying you can do this anonymously.
Correct.
Sextortion is how much of a danger as well? Because I've done quite a bit with the FBI, and they said its prevalence is growing and in every demographic.
Well, it's no doubt growing, but what really is growing is these pedophiles are gaining access to our kids so easily and being able to understand intricate details about kids because we've got apps like Whisper, who advertises itself as, hey, tell us your secrets. Nobody needs to know. Well, just as soon as they know, then they make contact with you and say, hey, we've got this information. If you don't want us to put us out, do whatever. You know, give us money or other things is how they're getting access to our kids. So we have to make sure that we educate our kids of what's out there and how bad people can get to them, even when we think they're being quiet and behaved in their rooms.
What is a parental recourse when it comes to your child being bullied? I want to ask you this in two contexts, Steve. On school grounds and not on school grounds. And the school's responsibility on grounds and not on grounds.
It is definitely the school's responsibility if it is on grounds. If it's happening on the property of the school, there are policies that envelop everything that you're supposed to do to deal with bullying. And it's a lengthy process. A lengthy process for every single school. If it's off campus, a lot of schools think that they can't do anything with that. But if it's off campus and it's disrupting things that happen when those children get to on campus, if it is a disruption, the Supreme Court has said, absolutely, you can address that as a school.
Is there a point in which you change your pivot if you are a parent, a guardian, a grandparent? Is there a point in which you say, we're going to pivot and I'm going to call the police now?
Well, without a doubt, if it becomes something that you're seeing the signs of depression in your child, and those are very easy to look up. I mean, if you see their eating habits are changing, if you see that they're not hanging out with that same group again, and they're obviously
a peer
things
group change.
Happening, really, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Losing weight rapidly. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can see in a child and know that they're getting bullied, even when they're quiet. Even when they don't say anything, you can see these signs, but you got to look them up. You got to understand the signs of potential suicide.
All right. So, Marilyn from Murfreesboro, couldn't parents avoid a lot of this by allowing their kids not to have access to all these social media apps? And so there we go. Is there an accepted, because all kids are different, is there an accepted age that it's okay to have social media tablet? I mean, I would think every kid's different.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, especially one that's anonymous. I think there are no age of children that should have anonymous apps on their phone, period. There should be no age of child that should have an app called Tor, which is the Tor browser to be able to get to the dark web. But you know what? If you go to your child's phone, which is your phone, and you see three calculators on it, you can bet they're not using three calculators. You can bet that two of them are cloaking devices, cloaking apps where they just put in a few numbers and it goes to those apps you don't want them to have. Parents, be aware of what's on your your phones.
Here's another note from a school administrator this morning. Know him well, and he sends on the American Monument text line, sadly, Christian schools are not immune to these issues. We're just somewhat better able to monitor and take corrective action. Affected this year, students are not allowed to use cell phones at all at school, or at least at the school this gentleman's affiliated with. I noticed some others were handing out bags that silence and cut the phone off, and, you know, the phone's got to go in the bags. I think this is one of the ways that people are acting. And then, of course, you've just got the sheer distraction of social media frenzy and addiction. So,
yeah, well, you can come up with all kinds of policies. It's not going to stop bullying. The only thing that you can do, there are the three Ds of safety.
The three Ds.
The three Ds. You can deter it by making sure that they know that this is a place or this is a device that's not welcome. So you can do that with all kinds of different parental apps like Bark that provides you some type of security on that phone and lets you know when they're downloading things so they can't download it on their own. It's only from parent support. So you're deterring people from being able to get to your child. Same thing with buildings. We do a lot of things to the exterior of our buildings to make people realize that maybe this is not the place to go. I've got two squad cars out front in front of my building. When you drive up, I want people to think, you know what, maybe this is not the place or the time that I want to do something stupid.
Right. And you know what's interesting is so often people have told me about that, just the sheer presence of something like that, the deterrent, and goes unqualified and underappreciated.
But you may not even know. You can't evaluate whether that safety works.
All right.
And so that's what society can't stand.
Deterrent too.
Yes, to detect. You have to be able to detect when somebody is in that downward spiral. I teach behavioral threat assessment all over the country right now, talking about kids and their depression and signs of depression. The leading cause of depression right now is that number of likes and number of follows and those notifications you're getting on your phones. We have to be very aware of what's going on with our kids, but being able to detect when somebody is in that attack mode and has that ideation is key to prevention.
All right. The
last one is delay. When somebody is hell-bent to be able to cause some type of violence to you one way or the other, they're going to use this app, that app, whatever, or they're going to use any means such as firearms or even baseball bats. It just depends on what they can get a hold of.
Vandalize.
We've seen them use rocks to try to gain access into homes and into schools. Whatever it is, you have to be able to delay that. So you have to think, okay, they're going to try to make access. They're going to gain access. How long can we delay that until somebody can get there and mitigate that person?
Right. So this coming school year, it's, once again, we're looking at the kids going back. But the big item, of course, has been schools and guns. So you've done, as you just mentioned, a lot of threat assessment. You've done a lot of education for other teachers. I'm wondering, Steve, what do teachers most often ask you about the threat of gun violence in a classroom? What do the teachers say to you?
The teachers wonder if they should be carrying weapons. It's a sad day in America when our teachers are interested in carrying their own weapon or having their own weapon in their classrooms. And listen, there are schools across this country that have great models. In Missouri, there's a district that has seven people specially trained, seven staff members specially trained, not necessarily resource officers with a uniform, seven staff members specially trained, and even the school board doesn't know who they are. But they have a nice big sign on the front of their door that says, "Our staff is armed." That's the deter.
Should I or should I not? That's interesting, I think. We got some of these. My old friend Kevin texted in here this morning, American Mountain text line. He said, "Tom, you know, my son got tired of it. He defended himself like we did in the old days, and he was the one who was in trouble, even with witnesses. Sometimes that's the only way. He is now homeschooled because he fought back." Don't know any more details than that. Oh, here's a question for you. When a child hides their phone, when you walk in the room with a bunch of question marks behind it, then you don't even have to search very long, do you?
No. I think that could be a prime indicator that they are hiding things that are not appropriate, or certainly hiding things that they don't want you to address.
All right, here's something for you that's a little touchy. A lot more grandparents are parents now and are taking responsibility for their grandkids and taking them to school. Or maybe you're just a parent who's not technology-minded. And so you know this, and you know the kids have a higher technical acumen, but it's like Mom used to say, it's better for you to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're stupid as opposed to opening your mouth and removing all doubt. Thanks, Mom. Right? So they don't do anything because they don't know what to do. They don't know about the cell phone and the smartphone and what they have to do to search. And what's your guidance for them getting an education, getting a primer, getting a single place location where you can say, okay, now I feel confident that I can go in and do what needs to be done technically?
We have brought grandparents who have asked that very question into our office, set them down at a computer, taught them how to get to the computer, how to get to these sites to be able to look up some of these apps, look up some of these things. Listen, when Emerald Chat was used on a school device in North Carolina to abduct a girl, it was on a school device, and people were going crazy. Oh my God, how could this happen? Because there are so many one-to-one schools. It's happening all over the world because kids are able to find these different types of sites. We teach these grandparents how to look for those, how to understand what's on there, and we show them how to get to classes that are online that teach you about dangerous apps.
And it's not as difficult as you think. The unknown is always intimidating, but you'll find the smartphones actually facilitate you being able to do these things.
Yes.
It's just getting through that first layer, you know, getting through the apprehension.
But many grandparents don't have a smartphone, so we provide them the internet access. We'll provide them the computer. If they want to come in and research it, they can sit in our office and do it anytime they want to.
All right. Now, back to guns in school this year. What do you tell parents? What do you tell children? You've gotten the role, Steve, that with this training that you're doing and the fact that you are, you know, you are not some academic that goes out and teaches it and go home. You implement. You're running a school. It's not just academic for you so that you can charge somebody funds to sit in a hotel Holiday Inn conference room for an hour, right?
That's right.
And so that's why I think you're uniquely qualified, application and, you know, participation in a real world. So what do you tell them right now?
Well, here's your checklist. When you're driving up to a building, does it look like a building that's vulnerable? Does it look like someplace that's out in the middle of nowhere that somebody could be able to gain access easily? The second thing is there somebody that's greeting your child whenever you drop them off at that door? Is there somebody that's greeting every single child as they walk into that facility and letting them know that they care, that they love them? The third thing is, are those doors locked when that bell rings? There's no reason for anybody to access that school once those kids are in it and learning. Are those classroom doors locked? There's no reason for people to be able to access a classroom while kids are in there learning. We go by convenience as humans. This is human complacency. We have to understand that every single day, if we do one thing, just one thing to help protect our kids, that's 180 things we've done that school year. 180 things. If everybody would do that, teachers, kids, bus drivers, everybody in the district, just think of what you could do for our children.
What makes this school year different than others? Not necessarily bullying, Steve. You mentioned bus drivers, and there's a shortage of bus drivers, shortage of staff in a lot of different areas. See schools down in Vienna. I bet you got the email, too, from the superintendent down there. We need this kind of aid, and we need somebody. What is different about this school year? The heels of COVID, it's still out there, mask requirements, immunizations. So about this coming year, the prices.
Inflation.
Yeah.
Inflation. Every dollar that we have to take out of our budget for diesel, for equipment, for running the facility, takes it away from the classroom. I don't think anybody has any idea how much money we spend on maintenance and upkeep of these old buildings that are in particularly America. 75% of our buildings were built just post-World War II. But we act like, well, we'll just get by with whatever we can. That has to be addressed, and it has to be addressed now, because all those dollars we're taking to replace all of this stuff that occurs with these old buildings is taking it out of the classroom.
Yeah.
And inflation is going to kill us.
Right. And because, you know, I was kind of chuckling at the beginning. I'm curious about your power bill, you know, because I am. I've been hearing horror stories. A pool that its monthly power bill was $4,000, now $10,000. You know, pool pumps stay on 24 hours a day. They lift a lot of weight. You know, hardworking machines. You start understanding it. But you also know where you and I live. You and I are country boys. We know that's not a bill that we can come out, hey, maybe I got an extra $6,000 a month.
Yeah, we'll try cooling a 200,000 square foot facility. Cooling in these 105 degree days. Heating it over the winter when it gets sub-zero. Those are huge facilities with, I've got 27 entrances. Those doors are not all open all the time, but they're open.
Yeah, anybody who's got kids knows that.
That's right.
I'm at the age now where I literally am walking around the house. I've become my father. Who left this damn light on? I'm turning off the lights. The four little tiny mini bulbs over the stove, I'm turning those off. I'm walking around turning things
sure.
off. You know, I've become my father. I'm sorry. Steve Webb. Hey, Steve, it's good to see you. Best of luck. Last guidance for parents. Some schools starting as little as 7 days from today, a week from today.
Well, here's the best guidance. Schools are the absolute safest place your child can be, because you've got a lot of people that love them, that are caring for them every single day, and they're in your corner. This is not a dangerous place to be. It's one of the safest places your child could ever be. Work with your schools. Your schools want to work with you. Let's make sure that we find success for this child.
Steve Webb, Superintendent, News Radio WJPF.